Stand by. What you hear in the next half hour could have a profound impact on your life.
Well, I'm going to talk about something today which is quite an amazing concept, but very clearly in the Bible. And it is being a friend of God. Can you imagine being called a friend of God? And, you know, in my mind, as I think about it, God has many, millions and millions and maybe billions over the years of people that are children of God, sons and daughters through faith in Jesus Christ. But how many of us become friends with Him? Is that even possible? Well, yeah, it is. It is possible. And only a couple places in the Bible, though, does it refer to people being friends of God. There's one place where it talks about Moses. Exodus 33:11. It says about Moses, "The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." But it's not saying Moses is a friend of God. There's only one place where someone is referred to as a friend of God by name. Not Moses. He spoke like he was a friend. Maybe he was the friend, but it's Abraham who is called a friend of God, the only one in the entire Bible. And one of the verses about that is James 2:23, talking about Abraham believing God. And it says, James 2:23, "The scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God." Now, that was in sacrificing or about to sacrifice his son Isaac. And then remember, the Lord sent an angel, put out his hand and stopped Abraham. And that's how he believed God. He believed God so much so that he was willing to give his own son. Point of sacrifice. And it says it was imputed to him or declared unto him to be righteousness, his righteousness. And so Abraham was called the friend of God. And the only other place really where it talks about being a friend of God is what Jesus said. And this is exciting because it can apply to us. He's talking to his disciples. In John 15, verses 13 to 15, he says, again, here we go, someone bringing sacrifice to God, great cost. He says, "Greater love is no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends." And of course, Jesus is about to lay down his life for us all, not just the disciples. He's laying down his life for who? He calls them friends. In fact, there's another verse in Romans where it says that through the sacrifice of Christ, the friendship with God is restored. But let's get back to this one here in John 15. He says, "Greater love is no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends." And then he says this to his disciples, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. And henceforth, now on, I do not call you servants, because a servant does not know what his Lord's doing. But I'm calling you friends, for I have made known to you everything I've heard from my Father." So, Jesus is using the term friend in the New Testament and says his disciples, the ones that will do what he commands, and mainly his command is love one another, he says, "You're not slaves, but you're friends." And what a privilege. I believe by faith we can enter into a friendship with God. It is totally awesome. Totally awesome. Well, let's touch on a couple of themes around this friendship. You know what? I want to have a friendship with God. Don't you? I mean, I look at so much of my Christian life and I realize that I've been a lot more like a servant. Like, God, tell me what to do. I want to do it, and I would go and do it. not really knowing what the heart of the Father is, not knowing what he's feeling or thinking, not having anything explained to me. But then I discovered that I can converse with him and that the Holy Spirit will talk to me. As Jesus said, when he sends the Holy Spirit, he will disclose to you the things that are mine. He will make known to you, remembering, bring to remembrance the things I've said. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And I found over the years that I can talk with the Lord and he will talk with me. Really? Now, how does that work? Well, it works because of the Holy Spirit in us. I'm not hearing him talk in my ear. What I'm hearing him do is the Bible says that when we are born again, our spirit and the Holy Spirit are joined together. In fact, it says that we are one spirit with him. And I mean, that's what Adam was. The spirit Adam had was the Spirit of God breathed into him. And when you are saved and born again of the Spirit, John 3:16 and other places, then the Spirit of God breathes into you and gives you a new spirit. And the Bible says that you're one spirit with the Lord. And Paul talks about it, and he says that who has known the mind of the Lord except the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God? We've not received the Spirit from the world, but he says we've received the Spirit of God that we might know the mind and the thoughts of God. That's what Paul says. So, the Holy Spirit in you, dear believer, is able to, with your spirit and his spirit being mingled together as one, bring thoughts up to our mind, and they're God thoughts. He's able to speak to us that way. That doesn't mean you just believe anything comes to your head, obviously, because your mind, in a sense, and the thoughts are, in a sense, are like a radio receiver. Depends on what station you tune into. But he's able to do that, and we can communicate with the Lord. And that's part of being a friend of God. Now, let me just have a look here at Abraham. How was Abraham a friend of God? What did he do? Well, we look at, for example, Genesis 12, 1 to 4, and this is before he was called a friend of God. The Lord spoke to him and said to him, Abraham, I want you to leave your home and your family and head out into a land which I will show you. And I'm just trying to flip over here to Genesis 12. And go from your country and your kindred, your father's house, to the land that I will show you, and I'll make a great nation of you, and I'll bless you and make your name great, that's so that you will be a blessing. I'll bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you. And by you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went, and Lot came with him, his nephew, and he was 75 years old. Now, first thing that happened with Abraham is he leaves behind what is secure and familiar to him. And he gets up to follow God and departs from his family, his city, his security, his whatever business was. He's 75 years old in order to pursue God. God's leading him, I'm following. You want to be a friend of God, you're going to have to take a step like that. You're going to have to follow his leading. Otherwise, you're doing your own thing. Friends don't do their own thing. Friends want to spend time with friends. So you want to be a friend of God, you're going to have to follow God's leading, like Abraham did. Now, it didn't make sense to the natural mind. He's forsaking all his security and stuff. But I'm going to go to the land God shows me, he's saying. He doesn't even know exactly where it is that God wants him to go, but he went out obeying. He believes God. Second thing that's happening is God's making promises to him. I'll make you a great nation. And later on, he's coming, and remember, the Lord visits him and says, you're going to have a child. And out of him, I'll make a great nation. And your nation will be a blessing to the nations of the earth. So not only does Abraham pluck up everything and go, but he also believes what God says. And now, if you want to be friend of God, you got to believe him. I mean, do you have any friends today, and when they talk to you, don't you believe them? Well, sure you do. You listen to them and believe them. Then that's a requirement. You're going to be a friend of God, you got to listen to him. Now, obviously, Abraham is doing something that we need to do. And it's implied here, but it is important, and of course it's reiterated throughout the Bible, is spend time with your friend. Friends spend time with friends, and they converse with friends, and that's what we see going on here, somehow, with Abraham. Now, I want to ask you a question here today. You want to be a friend of God? Not just a child of God, not just son of God, but a friend of God? You're going to have to spend time with him and converse with him. Spending time with him to listen to what he has to say. I mean, how can Abraham be led unless he's listening to what God's saying and then doing what God's saying? That's what we do. We want to be his friend. And interesting. Getting promises, he believes what God says. He believes it. Then we get a third thing about Abraham and his friendship with God, when he's not yet called friend, remember. But this is, he's heading this way. He separates out from the godless crowd. Now, here's an interesting story in the fact that when Lot and Abraham came near the area where Sodom and Gomorrah was, Sodom and Gomorrah is down in the valley in a very fertile area, at least at that time. And Lot chooses to go down into the valley towards Sodom and eventually lives there. Abraham goes the other way. But then there's a raid, and five kings come from the north and attack Sodom and the other cities and carry off everything. And, wow. Abraham raises up his army. Well, this is really his men. 318 of them, exactly. Here's Genesis 14. And he pursues them as far as Dan, and he overtakes them and defeats them and brings back all of the goods, all that was taken, all the people, all the goods, all the money, all the riches, all the stuff from Sodom, Gomorrah, and the other cities in the valley, in the plain. And out comes the king of Sodom to meet him in the valley, the king's valley. This is Genesis 14, 17. And out comes Melchizedek, the king of Salem, which means peace, who's, of course, the image of Jesus Christ. And Melchizedek brings bread and wine and blesses Abraham. And he receives his blessing, and Abraham gives Melchizedek a tenth of everything. Now, it's a tithe, you know, but you can't read too much about the doctrine of tithing into that, because he's giving him a tenth of all the goods that were recovered in the raid. And then the king of Sodom says, I want to reward you. Take everything else. So he's taking them. Take the 90% as your own. Just give me back the people. Keep the goods for yourself. But here's what Abraham says. I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, maker of heaven and earth, I will not take a thread or a sandal, thong, or anything that's yours, lest you say I've made Abraham rich. Abram rich. I'll take nothing but what the men have eaten. Isn't that amazing? Rather than be connected to the riches of those cities, the ungodly, unrighteous, wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities in the plain that were all overthrown, rather than be connected to them and rewarded by them and receive the riches of them, Abram says no. That's part of making a friend of God. A friend of God is an enemy of the world and its system. In fact, the Bible says in the New Testament, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. We can have friendship with God, but we want to bless those who bless us in our godliness, like Melchizedek did, and not take the rewards from the wicked and ungodly. We're let the victory and the profit come from the Lord and not from man. Isn't that something? Abraham's still not called a friend of God. When does he become a friend of God? When he sacrifices or is about to sacrifice his son Isaac. Remember, Isaac now is born. Isaac is the inheritance. Isaac's the one that all the promises of God ultimately will come through, and the Lord says to him, go and sacrifice him on the mountain. But Abraham believes God to such an extent that he becomes the very model and the very source through whom Christ is born and our salvation comes. He is the very one that we inherit blessings from in Galatians chapter 3. All the blessings of Abraham belong to us through Christ. He is the one that believed God so much and had such developed such a friendship with God that he took his own son up on Mount Moriah to sacrifice, and the Lord stays his hand and provides the ram caught in the thicket instead. All the images and pictures of Jesus there. But listen, this is the point where the Bible says he believed God and is called a friend of God. Now he holds nothing back. Now he holds nothing back. What about all this? How does it fit us? Well, let me just conclude right now by saying, in Jesus Christ, who held nothing back from us, who offered himself up for us, and that was the picture of Isaac and Abraham's willingness to offer. We inherit, we're told in Galatians 3, all the blessings of Abraham. In Jesus Christ, who says, greater love is no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends, a picture of what he's about to do. And then he says, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. I'm telling you everything the Father's made known to me, to you, so that you know what I'm doing. He says, I call you friends. In Christ, we receive all that was spoken of by Abraham in that whole process in Genesis. By faith, you can start being a friend on the basis of Christ. By faith, you can start being a friend of God on the basis of what Jesus did. Now, I'm going to talk about this further in the days ahead. Because of friends do something in particular, don't we? We spend time with God. We will talk with God. We will bear our heart with God. We will listen to what he says. There's lots of things that friends do back and forth that we can do with God, if we will, if we desire to. But it starts by faith, because we can do it through Christ. Oh, I invite you, as Jesus says in John 15, believe and act on the fact that you can be friends of God and start to get to know him by faith.